This is Rhema for today.
No, sir. But you notice, instead of looking at the problem, first of all, and talking about how big the problem is, they began to talk about, first of all, God and who He is and how big He is. Praise God. And when you begin to talk about how big God is, and you begin to talk about who He is, your faith will grow by leaps and bounds. Hallelujah. Can you say amen?
Welcome to Rhema for Today. Kenneth E. Hagin continues his teaching, The Supernatural, next on Rhema for Today Radio. Also, later in today's program, Kenneth and Lynette will tell you about this month's radio offer. Right now, let's join Kenneth E. Hagin for today's message.
You'll notice that Peter and John, being let go, went into their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. You know, when you get in trouble, that's a good place to be, in your own company. Hallelujah. And among people who know how to pray. And the word of God said, when they heard that, they, the whole company of believers, all of them at once, lifted up their voice with one accord. Now, I'm sure that they didn't all just say word for word what is written here, but the Holy Ghost through Luke gives us how God looked upon it and what He heard. And first of all, I want you to notice that they lifted up their voices with one accord and first began to talk about how big God is. Lord, Thou art God. Hallelujah. Who has made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that in them is. Most people, when they come to pray, begin to talk about the problem, first of all, and talk about the situation that exists, and talk about how big it is, and talk about what the devils are doing, that he's going to take everything over. I hear that. I heard that when I was a teenager, when I first started preaching, at 17 years of age, way back in the mid-depression. They said then the devil's going to take everything over. All the young people are going to the dogs. And I told them then we weren't. Hallelujah. I said, no, 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 the devil's not going to take everything over. For if he took everything over, he'd have to take me over. And he can't take me over, because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Amen. And we heard them say, all the young people are going to the dogs. 1934, 1935, 1936. I was young, 17. Young people all going to the dogs. And everybody seemed to be talking negative. But I got on the other side and I said, no, all the young people's not going to the dogs. Because if all the young people went to the dogs, I'd have to go. And I'm not going. Hallelujah. I'm going to invite other young people to come and go along with me with God. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? And thank God they did. Praise God. No, sir. But you notice, instead of looking at the problem, first of all, and talking about how big the problem is, they began to talk about, first of all, God and who He is and how big He is. Praise God. And when you begin to talk about how big God is, and you begin to talk about who He is, your faith will grow by leaps and bounds. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? And then secondly, you notice they begin to bring Scripture in on it. They begin to quote Scripture. They reminded me of Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, it shall be done unto you. I remember that great exponent of revivals and faith, Charles G. Finney, said in his autobiography, he said, I had some experiences in prayer that indeed alarmed me. He said, I found myself saying to the Lord, Lord, you don't think we're not going to have a revival here, do you? You said in your word, and he said, I found myself quoting Scripture after Scripture that the Lord had said. And he's the greatest revivalist since the days of the Apostle Paul. Praise God. Yes, sir. He brought Scripture in on it. These folks brought Scripture. And then notice, finally, they got down to the problem. And notice that they didn't even give one sentence to the problem. They just gave one little clause. They said, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings. They gave three words out of the whole prayer to the problem. Most folks were to give all of it about the problem and maybe three little words about the Lord. And that was, oh, what am I going to do? No, sir. They just gave three words about the problem. Behold their threatenings. Now, what's the answer to their threatenings? What's the answer to the opposition? What's the answer to the persecution? What's the answer to the devil that's trying to stop the move of God, the flow of God? Grant, hallelujah, that with all boldness, grant unto thy servants, that with all boldness, they may speak thy word. Hallelujah. By stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be wrought by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. Glory to God. And so, now that's not my sermon. That's not even the introduction. That's just extra. As we were praying then, and oh, we had some times of prayer. And I'd just say to the folks, you know, get comfortable if you want to kneel to pray, if you want to walk around, as long as you don't disturb anybody. I like to walk and pray sometimes. And so I was walking across the platform praying, you know, praise God, because I'm praying about my part in the camp meeting. What am I going to preach on? What am I going to teach? What am I going to say? And as I was walking across the platform, the Spirit of God said to me, the key word of the camp meeting is the supernatural. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Ha ha. Now you see, after all, that's what they were praying for. That's what they were praying for. Grant to thy servants with all boldness, supernatural boldness, may speak thy word. By healing the sick, that's supernatural. By signs and wonders, those are supernatural. So the Spirit said to me, the key word of the camp meeting is the word supernatural. Now, we started this morning with teaching, but really we sort of called the Monday night service the kickoff service, you know. Glory to God, we're going to kick it off with the supernatural. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I think we understand, know about the supernatural, but I just went to the dictionary to look up the word to see what the dictionary said about it. And the first definition was of or proceeding from an order of existence beyond nature, or the visible and observable universe. And then the second definition was the divine operation or intervention with the miraculous. That's what the supernatural is. And the third definition was something miraculous or marvelous. The key word of this convention or this camp meeting is the supernatural. We notice from this third chapter of the Acts, the name of Jesus. Peter says, and his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, or healed, in other words, or whole, whom ye see and whom ye know. The very name of Jesus has within it supernatural working power. Even to this day, though 2,000 years have rolled away since he walked with men, yet that name, blessed be God, still is endowed this day with supernatural power, as it was then. Jesus, the Galilean, was a miraculous or supernatural worker. Jesus' life was supernatural. His wisdom and teachings were supernatural. He lived and walked in the realm of the supernatural. He made the supernatural common. His death was supernatural. His resurrection was supernatural. His appearances were supernatural. His ascension was supernatural. But perhaps the most outstanding supernatural miracle of all those wonder days was the event of Pentecost. From the upper room, there went forth men and women boldly to testify of Jesus' name, who 50 days before shrank in fear from the very names of the high priest and his associates. Peter, the trembling, fearful Peter, is now clothed with the power, with fearlessness. Hallelujah. He goes out and faces the Sanhedrin, the Senate, a high priesthood, with a boldness, hallelujah, that amazes us. A stream of the supernatural flowed from the hands of the apostles. We read in the fourth chapter of Acts, you go to the fifth chapter of Acts in the 12th verse, and it said, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And so a stream of the supernatural flowed from the hands of the apostles. and upset Judaism and shook the Roman government to its foundation. They made a discovery. The name of that man whom they loved, the name of that man whom they had seen nailed to the cross in nakedness, that name now has power equal to the power that he himself exercised.
Welcome to Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin. Right now, let's join Kenneth and Lynette Hagin.
Let's talk about the offer. You know, I want to talk about our daughter's CD called Anchor Moments. You know, in this, she talks about that many times God will just illuminate a scripture to you, maybe a song, whatever, that maybe something you're going through. We're talking about storms, something that you're going through that will just help you through that.
Be an anchor to you,
anchor moments. I remember that when, you know, our son Craig was, they diagnosed him with a brain tumor, and he was having to go through surgery. That's been many, many years ago. And I said to God, God, I just need an anchor moment. I just need something that I can give my son. And all of a sudden, there was a pen that just fell out of my closet. And this lapel pin said, you can make it.
Yes.
You can make it. And I gave it to him and I said, son, God just said you can make it.
Yes.
So anchor moments. We need these anchor moments.
And then I have this Ages, Stages, and Generations. It's actually three CDs. These are messages I preached at the church. But this is something that we say on the back here. And it's what I talked about. The generation gap is perhaps one of the greatest issues in the church today, yet one of the least addressed. Satan wants the young to despise the old, and the old despise the young. If he can divide us, we'll never be able to do everything that we should for God. Now, in this, I talk about how that everybody, every generation is at a different area, and they like different things, but we need to be able to have cohesion instead of separation.
Yes.
And to me, this is one of the best things I ever did in the church to help everybody understand how to work together with one another, and it really works.
That's right. And my CD, what should we be focusing on? And of course, that is the positive and not the negative. And a book by our son, Don't Be Stupid.
That's taken from some messages he preached on the prodigal son. And actually, you know, it seemed like each generation looks at things differently, and he comes up with different things over the same messages that he's heard me preach and heard his pawpaw preach. But it's just a little different take
on the
prodigal son, and I think it's really good.
That's for a gift of $35 or more.
To order, call toll-free 1-888-FAITH-99. That's 1-888-324-8499. You can also order online at rhema.org. That's rhema.org. rhema.org. Or you can write to Kenneth Hagin Ministries. Our address is P.O. Box 50126, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74150. We always love to hear from our listeners, so write in or email us today and become a part of Rhema for Today. Tomorrow, more from Kenneth E. Hagin with his teaching, The Supernatural. If you'd like, you can visit our online bookstore at rhema.org. Thanks for listening to Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin.